Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I have to be honest, I sometimes struggle a little bit on days like today, or I have in the past, especially when my kids were little, and I think it's because I used to not handle disappointment very well, and it just felt like there was so much expectation and so much pressure to have everything go well on this one day of the year because it's Mother's Day. And I know Jason and the kids, they just wanted to make me feel loved, but how many of us know with the greatest will in the world, kids and life can be very unpredictable, so the day doesn't always go as planned, but it does get better as the kids get older. I will say that. So if you're a mum of little ones, it's, what is it they say? The days are long, but the years are short. And I'm starting to understand that now. Our kids are getting older. For some of you, your mums are no longer with us today, so it can be a painful day in many ways. Some of you have lost a child, and that is a very painful reality. And our thoughts and prayers are with you if you've had that experience. Some of you don't have the relationship that you desire with your own mum. Or as a mum, you don't have the relationship with your child that you would desire. And a day like today only serves to highlight that reality. But we want you to know that you are loved, and there's a God in heaven that loves you and wants you to be encouraged today. Some of you desire to be a mum, but that hasn't happened for you yet. You may have been told that it can't happen at all, or it may just be taking a little bit longer than you anticipated. But whatever your experience is today, and I am very aware that at least half the room is men that are here today, but I do believe that God has something to say to you today too. So it's not just, this message is not just for the mums. So if you have your Bibles with you today, or if you have the Bible app on your phone, if you can please turn with me to Titus 2. We're going to read together verses 1 through 5. If you don't have your Bible with you, then you can just follow along on the screen as I read. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. You know, I really feel like this passage of scripture has really shaped my understanding of biblical womanhood, and it's really guided me in my role as a wife and a mother. So my title for today's message is how to change the world. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for every mum that is here today that represents a family. I thank you that no one is here by accident. God, you have ordained this moment in the life of every believer that is gathered here today. And I'm asking that you would come right now like only you can. And would you minister to every heart? Lord, I pray that people would be challenged. They'd be encouraged. They'd be provoked. But above all, God, I pray that they would know that they are loved by you, their creator. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to turn your eyes to the screen, I just want to show you a little video.
Babe, did you say you were going to make dinner? I couldn't remember. What?
I just wish you'd take some initiative and cook your own dinner for once. I've been at work too, you know, and what, now I get to come home and pack the dishwasher and then unpack the dishwasher and cook dinner and put the washing on, and you know what, I can't continue to live like this because
it's not me. Hey, relax. It's going to be all right.
How?
Here, I'll just show you.
Okay, I've been doing this since you moved in.
See this basket thing? I don't know how it happens, if it's the house or what, but any dirty clothes you put in this basket, somehow, the next day,
they're just clean, folded, and in a perfect pile on your bed.
You're not serious.
I couldn't believe it at first either, but it just keeps happening.
That's why I didn't tell you. I didn't want to jinx it.
You are insane.
Try it, you'll see.
Unless it's only chosen me. See, I don't know.
I can't do this.
No, wait. There's other things too.
Plates, cutlery, pizza boxes, dirty tissues, anything you leave on this coffee table just vanishes overnight. I mean, sometimes I'll see how far I can push this thing and I'll just leave everywhere. And then sure enough, the next day, it's all gone. It's just vanished. It's magic. No, she wouldn't have left me. This is what I think happened. I heard her get up in the middle of the night to get a drink or something. She must have fallen onto the magic coffee table and just vanished.
Are you insane?
No, he's not insane. I've got the same coffee table at home.
So two pieces of advice from that. Number one, husbands don't ever tell your wife to relax. It's not going to help the situation. And also, men, encourage your wives. No one ever died from too much encouragement. Also, if you are not a parent, but if you see a mum who is maybe struggling, whether it be at the supermarket or where you're out somewhere or even after church, and they're dealing with some behavioural challenges with their children, why don't you just take a moment and encourage that mum, because I guarantee it will go a long way. My family are actually great encouragers, and one of my favourite traditions is something that we started about 7 years ago, and this book right here, other than the Bible, is probably my most treasured possession. I love getting mail. I love receiving handwritten letters and cards, and unfortunately, because of the rise of social media and email, I get it. When somebody has a thought about someone now, they'll just send an email or put a message on social media. So the only time now that I get cards is either on my birthday or at Christmas. But anyway, over the years, I've collected a lot of cards. I save every card that someone sends me in a letter. And we've moved a lot over the years, as many of you will know. And so I have countless shoeboxes. There's no more room in my closet. So when I saw this idea, I was like, this is a really great idea. So Jason will, well, actually, let's be honest, it's me. I will print photos. It's meant to be Daddy's job, but I will print a photo of me and my kids at some point throughout that last year. And then Jason will stick them in this book for me. And then each of my kids will write a letter to me alongside the picture of us together. And it's just the most beautiful thing. There's so many times during the year that I will pull this out, usually on a day when I've failed or feel like I've failed as a mum and I need some encouragement. But it's just so precious to me. I was in tears this morning reading what my kids had written to me. And so that's just a little idea for some of you men out there. If you want to bless your wife, it's a good idea. And it saves a lot of money too, especially when you have six children, because all you need to do is buy one book. And I figured out that this book will last for 10 years. And we started it 7 years ago. So we'll actually save you a lot of money too. So encouragement, whether it's written or verbal, is so powerful. And in this passage that we read, Paul wrote this letter to Titus to encourage him and the people that he was leading. I think it's very telling that our culture requires training and certification for so many vocations in life, but it just hands us marriage and motherhood without any instruction. Fortunately, God has not left us alone to fend for ourselves. He's provided invaluable wisdom for women in his word. So the first point I'd like to pull out from this passage that we just read is that motherhood is a high calling. Paul said here in verse 3, "Likewise teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children." So Paul was really elevating the role of motherhood here in a culture that didn't value it at the time. And I believe the same could be said of today's culture. It was very important to me to be able to stay home and to create a peaceful, loving, nurturing environment for Jason and our kids to come home to every day. It certainly wasn't the easy option by any means. I worked as an executive assistant for several years before getting married, and I loved it. But when I started having children, we chose to keep our kids at home until it was time for them to start school, so at 5 years old. By choice, selfishly, and because of our conviction, I wanted as much time as I could get with them in those formative years before I sent them off to school. I actually did start out homeschooling Nathan, but he broke me and it only lasted a year. I'm just kidding. It was actually more my perfectionist tendencies that probably did more damage to him. But Sophie was 2 years old, and I'd just gotten pregnant with Isabel, and I was very sick, and I was trying to homeschool, and it, yeah, just didn't work out. But anyway, there were sacrifices that we had to make, though, because of this choice for me to stay home and look after our children. We've never owned our own home. We've lived very frugally for many years, but that was our choice. God was so good to us, and he faithfully provided over and above all of our needs. And honestly, I would not trade that season for anything. Scripture teaches that it's primarily women who are responsible to be the caretakers of the home. Now, the Bible doesn't say that wives and mothers are never allowed to work outside the four walls of their house, nor does it preclude them from receiving wages for work. Scripture actually provides lots of examples of godly women who worked in other settings and earned extra income, but it was never to the neglect of their families and their homes. The Proverbs 31 woman is one such model. We actually don't have time to turn there today, but I'd encourage you to look that up and study that chapter. During her lifetime, she pursued many endeavors outside of the confines of her home. She worked among the poor and needy. She traveled. She bought real estate. She planted vineyards. She made linen garments and sashes and sold them. She participated in trading. But her primary motive and goal with all these enterprises was to serve her family and her home. I believe working at home should always remain a constant and ongoing priority in our lives. One of my favorite quotes is from Mother Teresa, and I have it on display here today. Jason had this made for me as a Christmas present because it's one of my favorite quotes. Somebody once asked Mother Teresa how they could change the world, and this was her response. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. The Bible also teaches us about the value of children and how Jesus felt about them. Jesus' disciples came to him one day and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And in Matthew 18, verse 3, it says this, "Jesus invited a little child to stand among them. Truly I tell you, he said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me." We also read in Psalm 127, verse 3, it tells us, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." And then one of my favorite ever Bible verses is found in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, and it says this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." You know, for those of us who are married in here today, one of the most loving things that we can do for our children is to love our husbands. It provides security for them, and it also gives them a biblical model to follow. We teach what we know, but we impart who we are. And our kids are the one who really, they're the ones who see the real us the majority of the time. I just want to take a moment here and just honor any of you in here today that might be a single mom. You are doing an incredible job. And I just want to honor you today for showing up every single day, even when you don't feel like it, for training your children in the ways of the Lord, and for relying on him to sustain you. You can model what it looks like to draw near to Jesus as your father and your ultimate provider. And that's a really powerful thing. I believe our highest objective in this high calling of motherhood should be that our children would love Jesus and put their trust in him. That's the ultimate goal. Secondly, motherhood is God's tool to make us more like Jesus. The older women, Paul said, should teach the younger women to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. For those of you that are moms will know, being a mom will push your buttons like nothing else. We have this rule in our house. We've always had this rule. No balls in the house. You're not allowed to throw a ball, kick a ball, throw it against the wall. Yeah, happy for you to do that outside, but not inside the house. Well, this one particular weekend, a couple of years ago, Jason was away in Sydney, and I woke up. It was a Saturday morning. I wasn't feeling very well. So I got up and took a shower, and there was all this commotion going on. It always happens when you're either on the toilet or in the shower or can otherwise not get to your children straight away for some reason. I don't know why that happens, but it does. So I could hear this banging going on, so I went out into the hallway and I was like, guys, who's throwing a ball? And the child that was doing it will remain nameless. They're not in the room. But I won't tell you who it was. So anyway, this went on 3 or 4 more times. I had to keep coming out and asking them to stop banging. So finally, I'm in the bathroom. I've had a few minutes of quiet and I'm drying my hair. And this banging starts again. And I've had enough. Dad's not there to say, Dad, can you deal with it? So I go out of my bedroom, which incidentally is right next to the front door. It's the first room at the front of the house. This was our house in Melbourne. And I am upset by this point. And I yell up the stairs, how many times do I have to tell you to stop banging? And then I hear this really sweet little voice coming from the other side of the door. It's just your neighbor, Faye. I was just popping over to bring you some flowers. I was like, great timing. Are you kidding me? So I open up the door and there's my sweet neighbor from across the street who earlier in the week her husband had had a fall in the driveway and I had to call an ambulance and I waited with them until the ambulance came. And so she was just bringing me these flowers to say thank you. So of course I was embarrassed and I think I mumbled something about, oh, Jason's away on business and I'm not feeling very well and the kids were being loud, but thank you for the flowers. And then as soon as I shut the door, I burst into tears. I was so embarrassed. And as much as I love fresh flowers, I could not wait for those things to die because every time I saw them, it was this constant reminder of my failure and lack of self-control. The reality is, whether we like it or not, as mums, we set the tone in the home. You've probably heard the saying, if mum's happy, everyone's happy. Are we creating the kind of homes that our husband and our children want to be in? Are we walking in the fruits of the Spirit and displaying those to our husband and our children? Paul says to be self-controlled here because the sinful nature is the opposite. We're constantly at war within ourselves with the reality of who we are and who we're becoming. Paul said himself in another letter he wrote to the Roman church, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I think we can all relate to that a little bit, if we're honest. Back in the 1960s, which none of you will be able to relate to that because you were all born after that. Nobody's old enough to have been born in the 60s, but lots of mothers were looking for some help to get them through the day. So Valium became known as Mummy's Little Helpers. This nickname for a drug that actually had the potential to destroy someone's life actually came from a song that was written by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. And one of the verses went like this. What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today, I hear every mother say. Mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of a mother's little helper. And it helps her on her way and gets her through her busy day. Towards the end of the song, the mothers are warned. And if you take more of those, you will get an overdose. No more running for the shelter of a mother's little helper. They just helped you on your way to your busy, dying day. You know, the goal of motherhood is not to escape into drugs, alcohol, Netflix, social media, or even working outside of the home. The ultimate goal of motherhood is to let God use it to make you more like Jesus and to refine your character. Over the years, I've had so many women say to me, oh, you were just born to be a mom, just because I chose to stay at home and probably also because we had 6 kids. But honestly, I believe staying busy at home is part of our character development. Being a mom is hard work. It's really hard work. With little to no recognition, at least not earthly recognition, but I will get to that in a minute. According to a new survey by salary.com, stay-at-home mums should actually get paid, wait for it, $228,587 a year. So apparently the salary... yeah, come on. The salary comparison website listed out this handful of jobs that would reflect a day in the life of a mum, and then it used this salary wizard to calculate just how much a stay-at-home parent would earn. Mums are said to have a hybrid role of around 30 different professions, including being a teacher, a coach, a bookkeeper, a psychologist, event planner, photographer, chef, and plumber, just to name a few. It's no wonder Paul, in another letter that he wrote to one of his spiritual sons, Timothy, he said this, "Yet she, the woman, will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness," and there's this word again, "with self-control." Paul is not talking about the salvation of our spirit here, but he's talking about the salvation of our soul. It's the salvation that we walk out after we begin to follow Jesus. It's sanctification. We've been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Salvation is just the beginning. That's when we turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus. But how many of you know we have to walk out that salvation as we become more like Jesus in the way we think and live and act? And I hate to tell you this, we don't become more like Jesus through comfort, unfortunately. We become more like Jesus through difficulty, and motherhood will bring plenty of difficulty. Carolyn Mahaney, author of the book Feminine Appeal, says this, "Our conduct as women has a direct influence on how people think about the gospel. The world doesn't judge us by our theology. The world judges us by our behavior. People don't necessarily want to know what we believe about the Bible. They want to see if what we believe actually makes a difference in our lives. Our actions either bring honor to God or misrepresent his truth." And that's a huge responsibility we have. Motherhood, and this brings me to my final point, motherhood exists to bring glory to God. Paul says in the original passage that we read in Titus that if we don't display Christian character as mums, that people will malign or speak evil about the word of God. But the opposite is also true. As we value motherhood and we allow it to change us for good, then it will bring glory to God, which is our ultimate goal. As we walk out our calling as mothers, aware of the dignity and high calling of our role, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us through it, we bring glory to God. Even if the world does not value what you do, God does. You know, I used to struggle sometimes filling out forms. We've moved a lot of times, and so there's always new dentists. You've got to fill out forms, doctors, school forms. And I would always struggle when I had to fill out the part that said occupation. I would always struggle to write stay-at-home mum. And I think it was because the culture that I was immersed in didn't seem to value it. And I feel like it's so easy as women to fall into the trap of finding our identity not in who we are, but in what we do. So actually, I've stopped writing stay-at-home mum on those forms now because I've just had to fill a heap out since we moved here. And I call myself a domestic engineer. I feel like that's much more fitting. So you can all use that if you want to. You know, everything we do in the home is of greater value than income-producing work. But until we see it as a good work, we're going to be dissatisfied with it. If our work only matters when others see it, when I'm being paid or recognized by someone else for doing it, then children would seem to only be an interruption to my life's purpose. But if all of work and all of creation is of equal importance to God, then chopping vegetables is a holy act. Colossians 3 verse 23 says this, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." I think if we're always looking for something else, that other thing to fulfill us and to give our life meaning and purpose at the expense of our family, then we're ignoring the very gift and treasure that God has graciously given us. Dr. John Traynor said this, "Children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work." You know, we just finished a series here at Pneuma on discipleship. And one of our kingdom culture values is making disciples isn't an option. And our children, they're our most important disciples. I never want my kids to feel like they have to compete for my attention. They're going to have many influences throughout their life, but no one can fulfill the role of a mom in their life. I remember one day when we were living in Lexington, Kentucky in the US, and we had moved there to help start a church. And I was just catching up on some jobs while my youngest three were napping. So the twins at this stage were just under two, and Karis was about 6 months old, and I had got them all napping on the same schedule, which was awesome. But I'll never forget, I was having a whinge to myself. I was cleaning and I was mopping the floor at that point, and I think I was whinging because I secretly wished I could take a nap. And I was whinging, saying, Jason's probably never even going to notice unless I tell him that he mopped today. He won't notice. The kids are not going to notice. And the dinner that I spent preparing this morning for tonight, they're probably not even all going to like it. I think I've probably alluded before to my perfectionist tendencies. If I could not please all eight people at the table, then I would feel like a failure. But thankfully, the Lord has set me free. And now, if you don't like what's on the table, then you can grab yourself a bowl of cereal and be happy with that. But anyway, back to this moment. I was mopping the floor and having a whinge. And then suddenly, the Lord brought this scripture back to mind, which he's so faithful to do in those moments. And it was this scripture in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, which says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And I realized in that moment, it didn't matter if Jason never commented on how clean the floor was or that my kids even said anything about it. God could see all of the effort that I was putting into keeping my house in order, and he was pleased with that. I love to serve and help others. I love investing my time in serving the church. I believe the local church is the hope of the world, but I don't ever want it to come at the expense of my marriage and my family. More often than not, you will have to fight for the relationships in your life that are most important. It won't always feel good. You won't always be recognized for your great accomplishments in the home, like making the bed, mopping the floors, making the school lunches. But for me, the family that God has blessed me with is my greatest gift, and I want to steward that gift to the best of my ability. Investing time and energy into your children will reap rewards with people who don't even know God. People are watching, and they notice when your kids behave differently, when they're countercultural. I'm so proud of our kids. They're such a great example of this in their schools. They're kind. They're respectful, they're willing to listen and be a good friend. That doesn't just happen. They're not just born that way. It's through investing time and energy and sowing the word of God in their hearts that bears fruit. I have so many stories I could tell you about our kids. One of them was in their primary school. They were always picked to be the child that welcomed the new kid and showed them around the grade. And it was because the teachers would notice that there was something different, that they were kind and they wanted to help others. We weren't called to blend in. We were called to make a difference. So just in conclusion, if the worship team could come up and join me, it's no doubt, right, that being a mom is one of the toughest jobs in the world. I've had many women over the years say to me, "I just don't feel like I'm enough." And I used to tell them, "But you are enough. You've got this. We can do this." I actually, this post I did on Mother's Day 5 years ago came up in my memories last night. And I'd actually written that. It was Happy Mother's Day. And I'd written underneath, "Happy Mother's Day to all the mums. I know you are enough." And then I had this revelation one day. Actually, I'm not enough. I never will be. That's not how it's supposed to be. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says this, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." So recently I looked up that word "sufficient" in the dictionary, and it means enough. That's exactly what it means, enough, adequate. You and I are not enough, but his grace is enough. He is all that we need. And you know, whenever God gives us a command, He gives us the grace to be able to obey it. What kind of a God would give us these unattainable goals and then sit back and not empower us to obey? That would just be cruel. If you leave here today and remember nothing else about anything I've said, I want you to remember this phrase, I am not enough. We need to celebrate the fact that we are not enough, because Jesus said that without him we're not enough. In John 15 verse 5, he says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What does it mean to remain? It's also translated, that Greek word is translated as abide. What does this mean? Well, when a husband and wife abide, the fruit of that intimacy is children. Fruitfulness comes naturally as a byproduct of intimacy. And Jesus's ultimate point from this metaphor of the vine and the branches was this, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need Jesus. I don't ever want to give my kids advice or to pastor any of you out of my own experience, but I want to hear the voice of God and what he is saying in every situation and then communicate that to who I'm speaking with. To do that, I have to spend time with him every day, listening, reading the Bible and listening for his voice. There is also a great reward for those that abide or remain or stay connected and humble before him, receiving life from him. The reward we see is in John 15, verse 7. And Jesus says this, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the most important revelation you can have is that your good works are not enough to make you right with God. But if you're willing to surrender your life to him completely, you can step into the kind of relationship where his grace is sufficient. Do you feel like you're working in your own strength to be all you're supposed to be? There's a measure of grace for you today. Enough. All that you need.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.